Let's go to the Word this morning. I'm going to invite you to the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, as you see in your notes. And I want to talk about the confidence that we have in Christ as justified sinners. And what a blessing, you know. We are approaching Thanksgiving here this week, and you know, a lot of times we wonder how to express or explain why we are thankful for. And if we really dwell in the gift of Christ for us, sinners, how He justifies us in the midst of, you know, our failures and everything that we've been through, you know, we are so much to be thankful for. Amen. His salvation is the greatest gift that we can ever attain. Now, as we look into these verses, I'm going to read them all the way. I'm going to read verse 1 all the way to verse 11, and just we walk through this as far as we can this morning. It says here, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteousness, for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one will dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified in His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This is the freedom that we have in Christ, the freedom of being justified. And as we look at the gospel, we have received this promise of salvation. And we believe in the gospel and we receive freedom from the wrath of God to come, the judgment that is to come. But also we receive a supernatural experience of power that is continually transforming us and changing us to the measure, to the stature of Jesus Christ. Now, when we experience the gospel, we do experience peace of God in our hearts. And that's an amazing blessing. You know, I want to share this morning because this is a very important aspect of Christianity, to enjoy peace of God in our hearts. And this peace allows us to experience forgiveness of sin, the cleansing of our heart, and also the hope of the glory of God in the future to come. And, you know, in my own personal life, and this is obviously the grace of God growing in every Christian, you know, in us. But I used to think I was a very righteous person. I used to believe that I was strong to obey the commandments of the Lord, to fulfill what He was asking me to do. As I've grown not only in the gospel and the commandments of the Lord and what He says about Him and about me, I also came to experience that in my flesh there's nothing good. And it's only by the grace of God that we're standing. And the only reason we're standing up and we're able to have forgiveness and peace and joy and to rest really in the Lord is because of what He's done in the cross. We are justified. And that's a very difficult thing. Maybe you're here this morning and you might think, you know, I don't struggle with this. This might be a message that might be just giving you some Bible scriptures to challenge or encourage someone else. But you may be a person who really struggles with your standing in Christ, where you are as a Christian. And I am that person. I am that one that, you know, used to base my Christianity or my salvation in works. And I used to think, you know, if I do right, I have the peace of God. But, you know, when I came to see the Word of God and His character, the character of God and my failures, there was no peace. And I came to realize that I was basing my salvation in works, and I was basing my salvation in my own performance. And more than that, when I look at my heart and I look at how many things I am capable of doing, you know, without the strength of God in me, I crumble and I say, Lord, how can I stand up? How can I minister to other people? How can I reflect your glory? And this is really the key. The key is our justification in Christ. Now, what is to experience justification through faith in Jesus Christ? I want to back up a little bit before that piece, and I want to tell you, when we come to Christ and we find justification, the first thing that happens is we gain an understanding of God's justice and our sinful condition. It's not like God is forgiving us of everything and we don't really know anything. No, we come to know the Lord, and we come to know an amazing thing. God is just. He is a righteous and holy God. So we receive justification by Christ, but we are aware of this holiness and righteousness of God. That's the first thing that we experience. And, you know, when we look at the Bible, I don't know if you've seen this, but in Psalms 7:11, the Bible says God is a just judge. He is just in His judging. And in His judging or His justice, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Think about this. I mean, if we are without justification, God is angry with the wicked every day. And we were wicked. Amen? We are completely apart from God. Now, in 1 John in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, this is a message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we come to the Lord, and God is light, and there's no darkness in God. So we look at the commandments of the Lord, and we look at our failures, our struggles, and the things in which we stumble, and we think, Lord, how can I get close to you? How can I be present before you? How can I present myself before the throne of grace? Not only that, in Romans chapter 1, if you back up a little bit here in your Bibles, in Romans 1, 18, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. How many times we suppress the truth of God, or we do not apply the truth of God in our lives as we're supposed to? And see, the righteousness of God is just bringing the wrath of God, is making the wrath of God to be revealed against us for our condition in our sin. And it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. So God is revealing His righteousness and His justice and His character to every human being. And I do believe the Bible. I do believe that everyone has an understanding of God, but people really bury that and they deny that God is real. And they say, I don't believe that God is real. But the Bible here tells me that God has revealed to everyone Himself. And then in verse 20 it says, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, and we all knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. As we come to grasp with the truth of God, is there a time in our lives when we have honored or given thanks to God as we ought to? Even in Christianity, as we are now in Christ. Is there a time in our lives when we give thanks to Him or honor Him in the way He deserves to be honored? No, we haven't. We feel we are so short of the glory of God. So as I look into this, you know, the justice and the holiness and the righteousness of God, it's just so beautiful and so amazing. But without Christ, I am completely separated of God. And we see here that His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness when we suppress the truth of God and we don't give Him glory as He ought to be glorified. So it doesn't matter how long we've been Christians. That's reality. There is no amount of righteousness in us that makes us right with God. I mean, if we are to base our salvation or our standing with Christ based on our works or performance, do you realize we can't get close to God in those terms? It's impossible. It's impossible. In our own strength, we were and we are and we will always be incapable of doing what is right according to God's righteousness, His holiness. Now, if I'm going to measure myself with, even with the Apostle Paul or Peter or with someone in the community, you know, I have a way to measure myself and maybe I'd be able to attain that holiness or that righteousness. But if I'm going to measure myself according to the righteousness of God, it's impossible. So his justice, you know, when we talk of justification, you know, God wants us to know what it really means. Justification means that we are just, not on our own strength, but really only through the strength of Jesus Christ. And think about this. As we read in Romans 5, 1 and 2, we have peace with God. I mean, we come to Him and we do have peace with Him. We are able to experience this peace with God. How often, you know, we come before the presence of the Lord thinking of the failures that we have in our life or the struggles that we've been going through in the week or the mistakes that we have done. And yes, we ask forgiveness to the Lord and we realize our sinful condition, but yet we don't experience this peace in us because we haven't understood the concept of justification. Now, the second thing that we realize or gain as Christians, you know, when we understand the justification of God, is our sin, the seriousness of our sinful condition. And we kind of look at this already. But think about this. Our sinful condition cannot be fixed by human means in any way. In fact, when we read back in Romans chapter 5, and I want you to go with me there, Romans 5, 6, look at this passage again. For while we were still weak, we were weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one will dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. So we look at the description of us here in these verses. We were weak, we were ungodly, we were still sinners when He came and rescued us, and we were as far as being enemies. So through the love of God, we do receive justification, but God is faithful to the truth. And He says, you were ungodly, you were sinners, you were my enemies, and you were unfit and incapable to follow me, to obey me, and to submit to my commandments. So our former sinfulness was so serious that without the revelation of Jesus Christ, we had no idea how corrupt we were. In fact, a lot of people come to church because they want something to go better in their lives. They want their lives to go well, but they have no idea that before they come to the Lord, they need repentance. And actually, God does not want them to change in order to get a better life, to bless them. God wants them to completely surrender everything and trust in the justification of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. We have to realize it is about Jesus and His work in the cross of Calvary in order for us to be accepted and in order for us to be following the Lord in the right way. See, in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, it says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In the case of God, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. They have no understanding of the gospel and they are blinded, and the enemy has done this to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. People is blind before they come to the Lord. They have no idea of the justice of God and they have no idea of their sinful condition. Now, when they come to the Lord, in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shines in us and He allows us to see our sinful condition. And then He allows us to see His justice, His perfection. And then now He says, you are ready to appropriate yourself from the justification of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story. I was a very naive pastor in the beginning. Obviously, I am still. So I'm learning so many things, and I'm so far from learning, you know, the many of the things that I'm supposed to know. But in the beginning of our ministry here, there was this young guy who came to church, and he had given his life prior to starting our ministry here, and we knew that. And he started coming to church, and he got you know, walking with the Lord and all that. And then he would come to me from time to time saying, I am really struggling today. And I said, what's going on? He says, well, I feel like I'm not a Christian. And so I said, did you give your life to the Lord? Yes, I did. Okay. Did you believe with all your heart? Yes, I did believe with all my heart. Are you following the Lord? Are you in sin? No, the best of my ability. I mean, I struggle, but I'm coming to church. I'm reading the Word. I'm praying, and I don't feel any peace in my heart. I'm struggling. I feel like God is judging me. Like I'm worthless just to be in church. And so we would go through this, you know, and I will read him scriptures of the Bible about his salvation in Jesus Christ, and I will give him some security and pray for him, and then he will go. And 2-3 months later, he will come back again with the same thing. And this happened many, many times. And eventually, he came to the point of experiencing some struggles in his life, to the point of depression and just fear and sadness in his life. And one day again he came and he said, I feel like I'm not a Christian. I feel so condemned, so worthless. I feel like God is not even in my heart. I don't think I'm a Christian. And he wanted the same thing that I would give him every time he came to me. But see, I've seen him struggle so much, and I said, you know what? I said, maybe you're not a Christian. He was shocked. I said, maybe you are not a believer. What do you mean? He said, well, you don't have peace in your heart. So what do I do? What do I do? You're scaring me here. I thought you were going to pray for me and tell me that I am a Christian because I believe in Jesus. I said, yeah. If you believe in Jesus, you are able to become a Christian. But let me tell you that the peace that God's supposed to give you in your heart, I'm not going to give you that peace. This is a personal relationship between you and your Savior. He says, what do I do? I say, I don't know. But if I was you, maybe I go to the house or I go to some place where I'm alone and I wrestle with the Lord and I ask him for that peace, because this is a promise. But it's not a promise to every person. It's a promise to the ones that receive justification in their life. And he was really scared. He felt like I was not giving him any help at all. And I wasn't. Because let me tell you, every Christian has to have a relationship with God that is personal. You know, it's personal to the point that you experience justification in your life through Jesus Christ, and you know that you are a believer. Now, he went on his own and seeked the Lord, and there was a moment when he found grace, that grace which made him stand before the presence of the Lord. And yes, he knew he was a sinful person. He knew that God was holy, but he was walking into justification. Have you experienced this favor in your life, this justification in your life? Are you in a relationship with Christ that you have peace in your heart, although you know the condition of your heart, your sinful situation, and you know that the perfection of God is so far from where you are? That is what it is to be in a relationship with Christ. So now, as Christians, you know, we need to rest in that. Even though we have walked with God for 20 or 40 years, whatever the time, you know, in Romans chapter 7, here in verse 18, look at Paul talking about his personal sin and his condition. In verse 18, he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. He knew. Paul knew. He had peace with God. He rested in God. But he knew that there was nothing good in him. In fact, you got to remember this. Even as Christians, you know, where we are capable of doing the most horrible things if we have the right circumstances. Are you aware of that? And see, that is there. It's a capability of sin in us that has to be under control by the Holy Spirit in us and surrendered to the Lord. But see, God accepts us like that. He loves us like that. And we're supposed to experience the peace of God in that situation. Now, as we look into this, he says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Evil lies close at hand, right there. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. How can you have peace
when you see your ugliness?
How can you have that peace? Well, he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is my justification. And he is my freedom. It says, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And then in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So, see, in 1 John 1:8 also the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, if we say that we're perfect or we arrive to this place of perfection, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're lying. We're saying something that is not true. So, in our present condition, you know, when we look at our situation through Christ, we are forgiven. But when we see ourselves in the light of His holiness, we don't make it. We don't have it. Yes, we strive to follow the Lord, not in the law, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But as we do that, we realize that sin in us is a reality, and God demands perfect obedience. But as we look at the passage in Romans, we are justified by faith in Jesus. And our justification is not based upon the outcome of our righteousness, but in Jesus Christ, in His work of redemption. So that's where we need to put our confidence. That's where we need to rest. So let's go back to Romans chapter 5, and let's look at the second part here of the message. Christians have confidence in Christ's work of redemption. That's where we base our faith and our peace and our strength as Christians. And our confidence is one thing and one thing alone, that we have redemption in His atonement, in the atonement of Jesus Christ. Our confidence is the ability to fully trust and rest in the sufficiency of what Christ has done in the cross of Calvary. Look at this verse, verse 1. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, and only through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We're standing in grace, and we rejoice. How can we rejoice? We rejoice because of what He's done. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're wondering, God, when are You going to fulfill everything? Because I know I am in You. I'm standing in grace, and I have that peace in my life, knowing that You have rescued me from my sin. The reality of Christ's justification in us gives us peace with God. And see, if you look at the holiness of God, and you look at the situation in your life, and you compare them both, you are going to be struggling and fearing and just scared all the time. And the enemy is coming and bringing condemnation in your life. But when you look at the sufficiency of Christ's atonement for you, you have peace. You are at perfect peace. And we walk in there through peace, but it needs to be something that we experience in our life. Religion is not going to cut it. Some counseling here and there or some verses of the Bible in your mind, they're not going to cut it. You need to have the Spirit of God telling you who you are in Christ. Are you aware of that? And that's how we need to rest. So what do we do when the enemy comes and attacks and he condemns us and we feel like we're worthless? We say, God, You are able to give me peace through Your Spirit. This is a promise for me. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is sufficient for our salvation. And He is the only one able to provide the perfect payment for our sins. See, this is something that we should rest on. God is perfect. So how can I pay for my own sin when I am so deceived by sin, when I have so many things in my life that are not right? The only one who's able to give the perfect payment for my sin is Jesus Christ. In fact, God is not going to accept any other payment for the sins of humans. Only a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus is a perfect sacrifice. And that's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, and some have said that this is probably the most beautiful passage in regard to salvation. Some said that the book of Romans is a mini Bible, you know, like a small Bible, all structure about the gospel and the things that are to come. But they say, if we were to lose the whole Bible and we only had Romans 3:21 through 26, that's the whole gospel in a passage. Just in few verses right there, the heart of the gospel. And look at what he says here in verse 21. Now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. And when it talks about the righteousness of God, the appropriation of that righteousness, the way of receiving that righteousness has been manifested apart from the law. Because through the law, we couldn't receive it. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. They bear witness of the righteousness of God to come. And it says in verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Everyone who believes is able to get this righteousness. And they believe with faith in Christ. Now it says, for there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, sin is an ugly thing, and sin deserves the punishment of God. But yet, when we trust in Jesus, in verse 24, we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show righteousness, the righteousness of God, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time. So, look at this. He might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Because God is perfect. A perfect sacrifice has to be made. And so those who believed in God and His justice, and God will not, you know, when someone is avoiding justice. No, God is justice. And He wanted the perfect payment. So He paid the payment through Jesus Christ. And Jesus was perfect. And as we believe that He's the just and the justifier, we obtain the righteousness of God in our lives. Because of God's perfection, our justification required this perfect sacrifice. And a perfect giver of the sacrifice, which is Jesus, only that will suffice the wrath of God for the payment of our sins. And our appropriation of God's righteousness. So as God sees us, He sees us justified. And when we look at this, we need to come to salvation through faith. Fully through faith. Not through works of the law or the flesh or our behavior, but we rest in the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who did it. Think about this. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And that faith is faith that rests in Christ. And to all those who receive Christ and who believe in Him, He has given them the power to be sons and daughters of God. Why? They are ungodly. They are sinful. They are ugly. In fact, they still have evil so close to them because of Jesus Christ and His work of redemption. And that gives us a heart full of gratitude. We ought to grow more through the Bible in who we are, really. The Bible explains the concept of sinfulness in us and the concept of the righteousness of God. And as we see these things, you know, we have no other choice but to look at Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord. Because if it wasn't for you, where would I be? Where would I be? What a beautiful thing when we rest in the gospel. Now, sometimes, and we are so, I am, personally, but we as humans are so oriented about works, you know, the works of the flesh. And there is a possibility to rest in faith in Christ in what He does for us. And I want to invite you to Luke chapter 20, 23. And this is my opinion in the greatest faith ever recorded in the Bible. Let me read at you these verses, chapter 23. In verse 32 of Luke, it says, two others were crucified with Christ, and they were criminals and were led away to be put to death with Him. So Jesus is heading to Golgotha. He's going to be crucified. And there are two men that are going to be crucified with Jesus. Now in verse 39, it says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at Him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other one rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I said to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I mean, think of the faith of these men. Jesus was a loser at this point in time. Are you aware of that? I mean, Jesus, there was nothing there. If you don't understand the Old Testament, if you don't understand crucifixion, if you didn't know anything about the gospel, really, or the things that were to come, and even the scribes and the Pharisees and the apostles had no idea how Jesus was going to fulfill the payment of our sins. But this man, he sees at Jesus and he says, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." Now, he must have had some awareness of the Lord and his miracles and all that. But see, he didn't need to see a miracle in his life in order to believe in Jesus. Are you aware of that? I mean, I'm like, wow, nothing. Nothing. He just said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom. I rest that you are the one. You have a kingdom." Now, why are you dying in the cross and not defending yourself from these men? Why are you not making a big miracle if you're the God of heaven? I don't know. But I rest in your power to save me and to give me forgiveness. That is what it takes. Resting in God with all of our hearts. And our confidence is to rest in nothing else but His sacrifice. That's what it is to trust in Him with all our hearts. When we have that kind of faith, you know, it allows us to rest in Jesus and to know that He's not in our ability or works or effort by which we obtain salvation, but really in the work of God. Let me take you to another illustration here in Philippians chapter 3. And boy, Paul was a man that really learned to trust in God for salvation in every way. And I mean, he went against the things that he used to proclaim in the beginning of his life when he trusted in Jesus. In fact, in chapter 3, you got in your notes 8 and 9, but I want to just make light a few verses before that. It says that in verse 2, he says, actually, verse 3, he says, "We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." See, to be Christians is to worship God, not in our works, but actually through the Spirit of God. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, that's what glorifies Christ, what glorifies God. Then he says in verse 4, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, I was blameless." Seven things that qualify him to some extent to be someone. But then he says in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. And for His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." And then look at verse 9. "And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Which righteousness are you resting on? Do you have this kind of faith? A faith that lays aside everything that you were or you are in your own strength. And you said, "I want to be found in Christ, only in Him." How? Resting in His righteousness, the righteousness that I received through faith. And I believe that he had to proclaim this, and he had to proclaim this to himself very often. And he had to remind himself, you know, it's not by works, but actually by the power of Christ in the cross. I am resting on the sufficiency of his atonement. I am resting in the fact that nothing else is necessary for me to be saved. And also, he was confidently persevering in that faith, trusting that God was able to save him. And he knew who he was. He knew who he was. So what a beautiful thing when we come to rest in God through faith and say, "God, thank you for your justification in my life." Now, I want to invite you to Romans chapter 4. And just as we do learn to rest in that, we have to understand that we have to persevere in that faith. And we have to not consider the circumstances or the attack of the enemy or the lies that come to us, but rather the provision of God. And there's an example in Abraham, which is beautiful. Abraham in verse 2 of Romans 4 says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. See, we can't boast about our salvation because it's a work of God. But not before God. In verse 3 says, but what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So he believed in the Lord. Now the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So he's the example of righteousness through faith. Now in verse 16, let's look at how he had to really focus and persevere in faith. It says, this is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And look at his struggle in faith. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, when he considered the circumstances, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. The secret of the believer is to face the circumstances and to not look at those circumstances, but actually to focus and glorify God and say, God, you are faithful. You are able. You're the one who provide. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I know that you've told me this, and concerning your promise, I want to trust that promise, and I want to grow strong in faith, and I'm going to give you glory by faith. And then in verse 21, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. I am convinced that what God has told me is going to happen. And then it says right there that that's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. He was counted as a righteous man. Although really the promise was given to him that he was going to be the father of many thousands. And think about this. That faith, the faith in God who gave a promise to him, made him be righteous before the presence of the Lord. It is very important for us to rest in faith in the work of redemption of Jesus Christ. I feel that sometimes we come to church and we sing, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. But we're still fighting in our mind and in our heart with the things that we've done wrong. And we say, Lord, forgive me again. Forgive me. And we say, how come I don't have the peace? How come I don't experience the peace? Well, as Christians, we have the confidence of his favor. And we need to pray for that favor to be a reality in our lives. We need to experience that favor. As we look at the passage in Romans 5, 1 and 2, look again with me. Look at the promises that we have and what we need to experience in Christ. Since we have been justified by faith, we have justification. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. Through him, we have also obtained access. So we enter by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we are in the way of grace and standing by grace. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is a promise for us. And let me tell you one thing. The enemy will not want you to have this promise in your life. He will want you to be struggling every time. So what I see in his favor is the provision of his forgiveness. You know, we are walking in newness of life. And yes, we make mistakes and we stumble and we struggle all the time. But we have peace through Christ with God. We do have peace with God. And we say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And if you don't bring this up to me, why do I have to be struggling with it? In Romans 8:1, we read, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So we need to grow in our personal relationship with God, and we need to realize that this is a spiritual experience in us in which we have the peace of God dwelling in us. And see, it's amazing for me, and it's just, I know the struggle, and I've seen the struggle when people say, I am a Christian, but they struggle so much to the point of falling in such depression that some will end up taking their lives because of the battle inside of them. And that's really what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to not rest in the work of salvation, in forgiveness of God. And yes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful, one, and He is just, two. Faithful to forgive us, and He is just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are clean. And we need to experience that cleanness of heart. And if we are struggling with that, we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, is there something that I haven't confessed in my life? If you are guarding your heart from something, you need to find freedom in Jesus. And you need to confess your sins. And you need to look for help. And you might have to open your heart with someone. It is a very difficult situation when you are living, hiding something in darkness. But come clean. And experience the peace of God through forgiveness. A believer that has been forgiven is someone that acknowledges sin in his life. He realizes he's a sinful person, but he's humbled by the forgiveness of the Lord and walks completely free of condemnation of sin. Completely free. See, we don't have time, and I start thinking of more verses and more things to share, but think about this. When David prayed for his son, and he was on the floor right there. And his son wasn't healed, but died. And they were afraid to tell him. I mean, he was so grieved by his son being sick. If we tell him that he's passed away, what is going to happen? But then David realized that his son had gone away. And he stood up. He cleaned himself up. He ate and he worshiped. He worshiped. I mean, and they came and they said, David, what is this that you're doing? How dare you? And he said, he's gone to be with the Lord. I will go to him one day. He knew that he was completely forgiven of his sin. Are you aware of what I'm telling you here? You know, that's an experience of a personal relationship with Christ in which you receive forgiveness, complete forgiveness of your sins. And you say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not only forgiven, but I have assurance of my salvation. In Romans 5, again, where we were, now verse 3, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We have that experience through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, in which we have forgiveness and peace. But not only that, we have assurance of salvation. And yes, there are problems and circumstances and tribulations, and we face things that we don't want to face. But you know what? We rejoice. Why would we rejoice in trials and tribulations? Because we know we're safe. And the Spirit is in us. It's talking to us and telling us that we have peace of God through justification. And yes, amazingly enough, we also receive His Spirit, which bears witness to the love of God in our hearts. And we rest in Him. And there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. See, when we are afraid, it's because we're not experiencing that peace and that Spirit in us. So, as we look into this, look at the next part. Verse 9, it says, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God in the future. The assurance of salvation is in us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are in Him, with Him, and He's living in us through the Spirit, shall we be saved by His life. That's why Christians rejoice. That's why we can stand up through His justification. We know that we're reconciled with God, and this guarantees our relationship with God and His protection from the wrath to come, and also the promise of everlasting life. So we rejoice in any situation. Look at these three rejoicings again. Just to summon everything up here, it says in verse 2, the second part, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God when God comes and reveals everything. And then In verse 3 and 5, we rejoice. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering has a purpose in us. And we rejoice in that suffering because the Spirit is in our hearts. And then lastly, in verse 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We are free. And we rejoice as we realize our identity in Him and our position before God and His love for us. You know, Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this. He was persuaded of this in another translation says, I am persuaded of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He is working in me. I don't see the circumstances. I am forgiven and free. I have justification in Him. And He will complete His work in me at the day of Jesus Christ. Are you resting in that confidence with God? And you need to struggle sometimes in faith. And you need to wrestle. And you need to come and pray. And you need to seek the presence of God. But more than that, because you need to know that you are perfectly forgiven in Jesus Christ. We rest in that. So let's finish with this verse in Romans 8:37. It says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this morning as our worship team comes. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your work of redemption through Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank You for Your word that allows us to see ourselves according to Your righteousness, Lord. And Lord, how can we come to the word and to church and just find out that we're sinful, but still leave the place full of joy, full of grace, full of hope, and full of gratitude to You, Lord? How can we come and look in the world that we have nothing good in us and that we're not able to fulfill Your commandments, but yet walk away from this place, Lord, rejoicing in the fact that we're forgiven? Only through You, Jesus. Only through Your work of redemption. Only through Your confirmation, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that tells us that we are loved. Thank You, Lord. Now, Lord, we rejoice knowing that You are working in us every day. And that although we fail and we struggle with many things, Lord, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess, but also to clean us, to clean our heart from unrighteousness. Thank You for Your freedom and the freedom we have in You. Now, Lord, we want to proclaim this freedom and this hope to other people around us. We worship You now in Your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.